I want to start this morning with John chapter 3. John 3, 16 through 21. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God.
Well, and we've had a week of great, great events of just seeing God at work. Last Wednesday, as is on your flyer there and your bulletin, Wednesday we had what was called the Peace Market there at Jefferson. To be understood that this is really Pastor Mark there, Mark Hamilton, kind of wrapping around sometimes more secularly binded groups of people that would come, and they would have fresh food and product and all that kind of stuff ready to go. It's our job at that time, you know, Mark's and mine and some others, to make sure we're making relationship with those people who are bringing stuff. And then the people, of course, from the neighborhood come in, and they really are blessed by that. But that is not so much an evangelistic thrust on that Wednesday. It's more of just a service to their needs, understanding that with tops out of the picture, that there's a great need in that, what they're calling a food desert. That's not a new terminology, by the way. That's been talked about for many decades. If you're not aware, in the middle of urban areas, oftentimes there is a total lack of supermarkets or groceries. And people who are not able to drive, they don't have vehicles or whatever, they're accustomed to jumping on the metro and going places, that becomes a difficulty. It becomes difficult for them to go any place other than a 7-Eleven or another place for food. So the Peace Market is really vital right now. The coming, and I'm not sure if you've been paying attention, but you only had to go back a short distance in time when there was no Tops there on Jefferson, and they were really fighting hard to get a grocery store in the middle of downtown Buffalo, or in the city of Buffalo, actually. Now you have about 4 or 5, if you think about that. There's about 250,000 people in Buffalo, and there's about 4 or 5 grocery stores, this being one of them, right? So that's, you know, just think about that. We have it really well off when it comes to that. We have great mobility, and we have lots of opportunity to get into a lot of these different places. So the Peace Market is really vital, and that's been great. If you want to come out and take a look at that and be a part of just sharing, talking to people and seeing how they're doing, that's a great opportunity. That's 10 to 2 on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we had, I'm not there quite yet, Sam, but Friday we had our family outdoor time, and a bunch of us gathered out here on the lawn, and we had some new folks that came, and some of them were here last Sunday, and one of them was actually a new face, and that was great. It gave us a great opportunity to kind of share. Some of these people are coming from just down the boulevard here and living in the hotels, and they have made this partially their home. And so I had hoped that you would to see them coming and see new folks coming in, that you are enlivened by that, and that you also would befriend them and help them to see Christ, because they need to see Christ. And then what we have here, which Sam was showing before, this happened just yesterday, and this was our Jefferson Avenue outreach. We love Jefferson Avenue. And as he scrolls through those pictures, you'll see some familiar faces, perhaps some new faces. If you stop right here, Sam, this guy right here, this is a Buffalo-born Texan. He and I have become pretty close in the last couple of weeks, and it was great to come alongside of him in this. He is the director of missions in the Texas Southern Baptist State office, and his mother still lives just about 2 minutes away from where the Tops Market is. And so he came up, he really supported and sponsored this virtually the entire event through this Texas Southern Baptist. And so his name is Tony Matthews, and it's been about 40 years since he's actually lived here in Buffalo. He moved to play basketball down to Texas 40 years ago. But that guy that he's standing with, I was right there. I took this picture, and he was talking to me, and this guy who I'd seen, and I was corresponding with this other gentleman on the right for quite a while, and all of a sudden he kind of bumped up against Tony, and he looked up, and he's like, "You don't know who I am, do you?" These two were schoolboys together. He looked at him. He's like, "Oh my goodness!" He's like, "I do recognize you." And this guy came up with his name, like just like that. He said, "Tony Matthews, I remember you." And so that was kind of the day that it was. It was meshing of hearts and minds and people coming together and obviously eating. Well over 500 people came through the line, and we had plenty thanks to the Church of God coming through. Harvest Bible Church, Bible Chapel from Orchard Park came up, and I think they brought, I don't know how many tons of macaroni salad. It was kind of crazy, but we didn't get through all that. But there was macaroni and cheese, and there was beans, and there was all kinds of chicken and hot dogs being made. And Shorty was the yeoman at the grill for much of the day, and he partnered up with like Kayla and others that were there at the grill, and that was great. So a wonderful time of the church, the body of Christ, coming together, seeing well over a dozen churches coming together to see the people be met. And it's really important for us to understand, we would be wrong if we were to do this and have it as like a one-off. One time, kind of just jump in there, kind of be real friendly and then go away. But you know what we're all saying as the body of Christ is that why aren't we more involved in people's lives anyways? Why aren't we involved on mission in such a way? I mean, are these people just really important because there was a shooting down the street? Of course not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm not about to preach to you just yet, but that's a pretty significant, well-known verse, that the world is lost and needs to see Jesus. And so next week we'll do it again, and later on in the summer, if we have the funding, which so far we've been doing pretty well, the network has been there. Several churches, several associations from around the country have posted in and helped us out. It takes about $2,500 for a single one of these to take place. And, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but chicken prices are through the roof, you know. We can go cheap. We could just feed them all hot dogs and hamburgers. I mean, that's the cheap way. But we really wanted to place a special touch upon their lives. And we want to do it in a way that's not just here today, gone tomorrow, but really propping up Faithful Stones, propping up the people there and Pastor Mark to have some longevity in this ministry, to be there at the corner consistently. Now, they're there evangelizing virtually every week during the spring, summer, fall, have been. So they're already known. But it's great for us as a church to be able to be there. Many of you guys passed through. Some of you were helping out, photographers and videographers and that type of thing. That was awesome. And so the Amherst was represented. We'd love to see more representation this coming week. Just to let you know that God is on the move. He's doing something special. And how Mark and I came together is a testimony all to itself. And how God set us up in a place for such a time as this is an amazing miracle of God that's worth telling over and over again. Because I believe that every one of us, if we have the ears to hear, he is calling us, not just on times of tragedy and conflict, But in the midst of all times and all, you know, every day, we are being called into relationship with one another. And I think that helps us to be ready in a better way for such things to take place. So put that in your heart, and I want you to watch a video, and we'll go from there.
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved.
Come to a point where we have an opportunity for some of you to share testimonies. Karen Roberts has planned to, but It Is Well With My Soul is a tough song for her, or a good song for her, I'm not sure which. I'll give you a minute to collect. About 8 months ago, we prayed for a young girl, neighbor, friend kind of connection with Ellen Kirchdorfer, who was pregnant. She was in a difficult relationship, etc., and was considering abortion, and we prayed for her. And this week, she had a baby boy. Amen. During that time, as I understand it, some of our women have reached out to her and helped supply some needs for that. But I would encourage, let me just make a, you know, an audible call here. If you would like to make a contribution to Caitlin, as far as I know, it's Kaitlyn. Little envelopes in the pew. There's a place for a designation. If you want to make a donation to Caitlin, we'll make sure she gets that brand new baby. In a difficult situation relationally and financially, I'm sure, emotionally at this point. So if we could reach out to her, I'd encourage you to do so. You just put that in the offering and we'll make sure she gets whatever you'd like to do there. But praise God, right? A life in the balance. We pray, God speaks, baby's born. Amen. So if you have a brief testimony you'd like to share, be ready to do that. I'll come with a microphone to you, and Danielle, I'll invite you to track me a little bit. I'm going to come over here to Karen, and let her share her testimony.
I don't like to have my back to people, so I'm standing here where I can see many of you. I just want to say I have been greatly blessed and challenged by recent sermons. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Eric preached a sermon titled, The God of the Impossible. I don't think I've ever put a title to a testimony I'm giving, but today's is The God of the Impossible. I realized after, when I heard that sermon, I realized I had just come through a period where I was experiencing the God of the impossible. My son Derek, who is only 49 years old, had just suffered a hemorrhagic stroke. His wife had already nursed her mother and her first husband through terminal illnesses, and she just was not able to function. All she could see was she was going to have to go through this again. She was completely anxiety-ridden and unable to function on any level. At the same time, I was nursing a very hard cold, and my back and knees were bad enough that my mobility was very limited. I told Michelle, I don't know why I did this, but I told Michelle, you just sit down and get yourself together and I will take care of everything. That was not a very good thing for me to say, humanly speaking. I said, I'll get Derek to the hospital. I'll do anything that needs to be done. And she said, you can't do that. You're not physically able to do that. And I said, I will do it. I assured her that I would be fine. And I wasn't really thinking that I would be fine. I took cold medicine so that I wouldn't be coughing and they would throw me out of the hospital. And I have some gel I use on my sore body parts, and so I put gel on my knees and back and got in the car and took him to the hospital. I'm not comfortable driving in the city of Buffalo at all. I don't know the streets. Mike kind of instilled a fear in me of being in the city of Buffalo. So I was going to have to face driving into the city, finding a place to park, finding my way to the hospital, finding my way back to my car. Praise God for the gift of GPS. I would be chronically lost these days except for GPS. I didn't always have the right direction, but GPS always talked to me very sweetly and got me back on track. I found my way and arrived at the hospital easily, parked in a ramp close by, and found my way into the right part of the right hospital. They did some tests and Derek was sent to another hospital, which meant that I had to do all that all over again in a different part of the city. Again, I did it. I did it with God's help. I was worried about getting around the corner. There were three hospitals right there, and I was able to do it. Thank you, God. Through all this, I didn't feel at all stressed, which is quite unusual for me these days. I realized that my cold and pain also weren't giving me any trouble. I wasn't coughing, I wasn't blowing my nose, I could walk reasonably well with a cane. And I realized that the God of the impossible had given me a calm spirit and relief from my own physical issues so that I could do what needed to be done. He helped me navigate the city streets, parking, finding my way to the right place in the hospital. And all these are seemingly very ordinary things, just really small matters, but they were pretty big matters to me. They're not too small for God to be involved in. The calm spirit was a huge gift to me. As some of you saw just now singing, "It Is Well With My Soul," a calm spirit isn't always there. And I get very emotional. In June, it will be 7 years since Mike died. And now I was facing the very real possibility that Derek could also die. I pleaded tearfully with God to not let this happen. Usually, that would be overwhelming for me. But this time, God was definitely present. I felt blessed to be able to do this for Derek. I felt blessed to have time I don't ordinarily get to sit and talk to him about his relationship with God, and he was in a place where he was willing to listen. He's making good progress at this point, and I fully expect he will be able to make a full recovery eventually. Michelle was also able to work through her anxiety and pick up and do what she had to do. There were some things that mom couldn't do anymore and the wife had to do. The God of the impossible gave me strength that I didn't have in myself to do very hard things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, parts of verses 9 and 11 say, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong." And boy, I was strong. I could hardly imagine that. His impossible acts are beyond measure. My paraphrase of Jeremiah 33:3 that I refer to quite often says, "Call on me, and I will show you great and amazing things that you can't even imagine." I couldn't even have imagined the smallest details that God worked out for me. There's some things about this story that are just too personal for me to tell you here, but know that what I have mentioned is just kind of the tip of the iceberg, and God is in control of all of our lives. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Thank you. The God of the impossible. I have time for a couple more testimonies. Someone want to share something of what God is showing them? Brian.
Well, if you don't know me, I'm Brian. I have a lot of issues, and God showed me the ways to find the ways to be out of the hospital, no ER, no hurt myself, no, I've been finding things to do, and it's been a while since I've been to CPAP, that means psych ward, and that God just showed me how to grow in faith, and that he just shows me that I love him so much.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. Rosie and then Joanne. Please.
So Jack and I were down at Jefferson and Utica yesterday, and I just want to say what a blessing it was. We counted at least 20 people from our body here. I know Eric had mentioned different churches, but there were so many of us here, and as we counted them afterward, we were so blessed to know that you guys just, I know it can be a little bit intimidating going down into the city of Buffalo at times and wondering, you know, like, what's it going to be like? But I encourage you all to come out next week because we felt very safe. It's a lovely area. The people there are fantastic, and we just were very blessed.
So. Thank you. Come join us. Joanne. Just briefly.
No, sorry. This will be quick. I suffered depression almost all my life, well, just about all my life. I had a very good home life, but things I saw that affected me as a child just made a mess. And then with 4 traumatic deaths in a row, I went to shock, lost my children. But we're so close now. I'm very blessed that the Lord brought us back together. I've had a fantastic life. And I want to thank all of you for sticking by me along the way, no matter what. But in mid-September 2022, the Lord miraculously healed me. I don't have any memories. I have memories of the past, but they don't bother me. Sometimes if I'm overtired, they will. But I'm so happy now, beyond measure. And thank you all for helping me along the way.
Excellent. Thank you, Joanne. I don't think Eric mentioned it. If you hadn't noticed, there's going to be a wedding here at noon. The Blagadat congregation has a wedding today, and so that's what the decorations are. And Yvonne just gave me a heads up. I have another, maybe it's a prayer concern, we'll see. Other testimonies? Sherry's got her finger up.
That's not about me, but I know a lot of you are praying for our daughter, Sarah.
who was in her second very difficult pregnancy, and she gave birth to a very healthy baby boy Friday afternoon. And we were able to go down and see him yesterday. He was born at 9 pounds, 11 ounces. They expected him to be almost 11 pounds, so that was, but he is very long. He's almost, he's 21 3/4 inches long. So his weight is kind of distributed in his length. But we are so blessed. He's adorable, and God is so good.
Great. So we can pray for Austin, right? Austin and his older sister, Abby. Bob, last one here, perhaps. By the way, Caitlin is spelled with a C, but we'll get the money to her anyway.
Thank you for... hello? Yeah. Can you hear me or no? Okay. Thank you for praying for Jody. She is a niece of one of the guys from the home here, and her daughter was in the hospital quite a bit for GI issues. So I just found out they're home now. So, and also, excellent. Jody had issues with her car. She found a car the other day. So great. Thank you for praying for both.
Excellent. Very good. Answered prayers. That shouldn't be a surprise to us, but.
Let me say this, first of all. I am so blessed to be your pastor, listening and looking out and hearing your testimonies and just knowing your hearts and knowing so many of you for so many years. It is a great honor to lead you as a congregation. I would echo and I apologize if I did not elevate you well enough as far as yesterday's, the way that you poured yourself out yesterday. In at Jefferson Avenue, and how you consistently allow me to be poured out in so many different ways around this region. I appreciate that, and it does not go without being seen and known. When people look at me and they see, you know, me involved in all kinds of different things around, it is only because of your heart and your allowance of me to do so that I'm able to be a part of Sheridan Parkside, that I'm able to do Jefferson Avenue and such like that. So I appreciate you guys, and just know that from the bottom of our hearts, Catherine, myself. Catherine's home with a sick one today, but for our hearts, and I know Scott and Laura as well, we appreciate you. We appreciate your heart towards mission and towards your growing hearts, towards engaging and multiplying in our world. And with that, I think it's very important to have that as a center point, because for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in this world, to be resurrected and be brought back to light, to be ascended into heaven, that anyone who would believe on him shall not be damned, should not be sent to eternal separation from God, but shall have life everlasting. So let's break that down. All you Awana students, all you kids, everybody knows this verse. We'll say it, and say it whichever way you know it, whatever version you've learned it. Let's say it together. Say it boldly. I don't care if our words mumble and stumble over each other. Let's say it together. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believes in him, he shall not perish, but have everlasting life." All right? Scott read it in the beginning. We're talking about it today. This is really the very crux of the matter for Nicodemus coming to Jesus Christ in the nighttime. And we could speculate why he's there at nighttime, as Scott mentioned, but let's not speculate. Let's just talk about it. He comes to him, and he opens his heart up to Jesus and says, "Master, I don't understand. I need to understand what it is." And Jesus says, "You must be born again." Right? Jesus says that. That's not some kind of political movement. It's not some kind of a Jesus moving thing. There's a lot of people out there that think those born againers, they think they came up with this terminology about being born again. No, Jesus says, "You must be born again. You must be born again in the Spirit of the living God, or you have no life." And just as we talked last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm in a little bit of a time warp, forgive me, But whenever that was, we talked about, it was last week, right? About the snake. I did the snake. It's a long, long week for me. Holy cow, that could have been a month ago. But, you know, when we talk about that Jesus, you know, must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, there are symbolism in the Old Testament. And perhaps we did not make this very clearly conjoined last week. I heard from some people that maybe it didn't go as well as we had originally hoped. But if you're paying attention, Moses raises up a snake in the desert, and Jesus refers to it as a symbol of salvation. And so as we're looking down here, and we're getting to this point, if I have told you, this is verse 12, if I have told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things in heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, we're not talking about lifted up like we're trying to lift him up today, right? In adoration and exaltation. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just that kind of lifted up, although we're supposed to do that, but that's not what Jesus is talking about, right? He's going to make a very, very specific, detailed explanation that someplace in a very near future, Jesus says, the Son of Man, myself, Jesus, is going to be lifted up, and two sticks that are put together as a cross, and they're going to be lifted up on that tree of cursed man. And just as Moses lifted up and put the snake up there and everyone who turned to it was healed, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross and anyone who turns to him and believes will be saved. Sounds like God kind of had this whole story put together well before Jesus came around, right? So let's talk about this in a real short. We only have a few minutes. But for God so loved the world, this would probably be worthy of you, child. I know we don't have children's church today because it's a celebration. But I think it'd probably be interesting for you older, younger kids that, you know, pay attention. Because, you know, when we're talking about this favorite verse of ours, it's very important for us to not just know it by rote. We all know it, right? For God so loved the world. And we say it. And sometimes we run through it it's so well known that we don't even think about what we're talking about. But for God so loved what? The world. So Sam, you have a picture for me, right? I can't see anything back here, so you're going to have to keep me. So God loved the world. How much did he love this world? Well, he put the world together, right? That's how much he loves it. He creates the world out of the very love and out of the breath of himself. He forms the universe. And so God so loved that world. That world is called, in the Greek, that's the cosmos. Okay, you know the cosmos, we use that terminology for a lot bigger than just the world, little tiny globe, right? God so loved the universe that he made, everything that's within it. He loved it with a passion, an agape love. God so agape'd this perfect, unstoppable God, divine love. He loved the world. Now I look around at Jefferson Avenue, and this is the beautiful thing about yesterday, is the world came to us. The world, that part of the world, came to us. And we had people from all various different cultures and backgrounds and all kinds of stuff, people who didn't even know that this was going on were there around the Jefferson Avenue Memorial, and they were coming by. And people I haven't seen, people I've had different connections with over lots of different years, all of a sudden we're bumping into each other. And they're like, oh, you're here. And it's like, yeah, I kind of helped put this on. You know, they're like, really? That's great. The world needs to know Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son to bring forth. Well, how much did he love the world? He creates the world. He gives us an ark, right? You got the next picture, Sam? You with me? Are you tracking with me, Sam? You got to pay attention. Okay? He gives us the ark, Noah's ark. This is still in the book of Genesis. He loves us so well that he doesn't just abolish all of humanity and all of life. He gives an ark for mankind to continue on. And we can look at this in two different ways. We can look at the flood story as being just absolute devastation, destruction, which it absolutely was, but you have to see the ark in the middle of the scene. And the ark is God's salvation. Just as Moses' snake is going to later on be seen as that symbol of salvation, so the ark of God there in the book of Genesis in the flood is seen as salvation. He loves so much that he saved six people to continue on the world of humanity. I'm sorry, eight people. That's right. Three boys, three daughter-in-laws, and Moses and his wife. Thank you, Elder Jack. Thank you. How much does he love the world? He wants to bring us a Savior, Jesus Christ, and so he brings on Abraham. That would be the next picture. There we go. Abraham is brought up in the book of Genesis. He is going to be brought up as being the man who's going to bring about the Savior of the world. You know, the blessing of all nations was going to be found in this man, Abraham. Why? Because he was so special? Because he was so good? Read the story. That's not why. Abraham is not selected because he is a true, faithful man of God. He is taken out of pagan lands, out of pagan mindedness, and he is chosen for this, and he hears. That's his special trait. He hears the voice of God call him out in love and say, Abraham, I want to use you. And Abraham says, yes. We all have that opportunity. You want to be a blessing to this world? You want to love the world the way that God so loved the world? You have to listen, hear his call upon your life, and say yes. How much does he love the world? You go to the next story. We've got a jump of several years, right? We have this guy named David, who is going to bring the people of God, now a mighty nation, and he is going to allow them to basically conquer the land and take back the promised land. God loves, and in David's life shows the love of God in so many various different ways. Love and grace and mercy that flow into David's life, flow out of David's life, and help us to see the great love. Why? He was a man of God's heart, right? God so loved the world that he pours himself into individuals throughout human history. And then he loves us in sometimes some ways that we don't really care for. The next picture talks about the Babylonian captivity. Now, this is Daniel in the lion's den. We understand that. But how does he get there? He was taken away. Was he unrighteous? No, but he was part of a people full of idolatry. The Israelite people had become so far from God's heart, and God so loved the world that by grace he took a remnant by the hand of the Babylonians. He takes a remnant and pulls them into captivity. Daniel being one of those young men. God so loved the world that he gave mercy and grace and continued to work into the lives of guys like Daniel. And Daniel is able to raise up that standard once again, just as David was, just as Moses was, just as the ark was raised up as a standard of what? I am with you. I will save you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. God so loved the world. Then ultimately, as we're looking at John chapter 3, our final slide here is this baby Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For God loved the world in this way. He gave us his one and only Son. That word gave is a word that we sometimes we think of it, it's in the same context as a grace. He chose it within his own heart, God's own heart. He chose it. And there's no ties to it. There's no, I want something back from you per se. No, I am offering it to you as a free gift from my heart to you. It's a gift of God. And I want to ask you, church, how real is that to us? And I love the testimonies, and I think we need to have more testimonies. I hope that you'd take time in DNA to continue to reveal how God has been at work. What has He given you? There's so much grace that has been given into our lives. And this word that is used here in John 3:16 is really, really foundational for us to understand grace and understand what it means that God gave. He didn't give an Indian give, take it away and say, you thought you had it, but you don't. No, He gives it. It's from His heart. It's the very core of who He is. He wants to save that which He loves. And so I think for most of you, I'm speaking to hearts that have already received that great love and grace and gift of God. But two different sides of that. Some of you perhaps have not, number one. And if you have not received the beautiful gift of God's own Son who comes, and Jesus, remember, is talking about Himself to Nicodemus. And so He's foreshadowing a lot of things that are yet to come down in the book of John. But Jesus understands His purpose for being there is to be bringing redemption and salvation to mankind, to you and me. That's the only reason He came. That's the only reason this baby showed up, was because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever would believe. And again, we've talked about belief in a lot of different times and a lot of different ways in this past months. But the belief in Christ is that absolute contentment of jumping into what we perhaps don't know. Not fully, for we know only in part. We see through a glass dimly. That's in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? God's love is such greatness. And when you read down 1 Corinthians 13, don't just reserve that for weddings and such like that. 1 Corinthians 13 is for the people of God to understand that God so loved the world, He lavished this kind of love. Love is not prideful or boastful. It is not hold on to things and wrongs against them. That's not love. If you're holding bitterness against one another in this room or against me or against Scott or anybody else, if you're holding yourself bitterly against somebody else, mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, associate, work person, you are not representing, you're not symbolizing the very love of God who gave His only Son to die for you. He didn't hold it in bitterness against you. You're the one that put Him on the cross, just like I am. He didn't hold it in some kind of bitterness inside. They're ripping out His beard. They're throwing a crown of thorns on His head. He didn't hold it a bitterness against them. But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes, whoever jumps into His arms, whoever, without any kind of reserve, any kind of holding back, jumps faithfully into the loving gift of God, His Son, you shall be saved. That is the only hope for this world. That's the other side. Because if you are not a believer, you need Jesus. But if you are a believer, you need to be giving Jesus. You need to be giving it with such passion and such grace. You need to be looking for opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ every place you go. And I don't mean you have to be a Gabby Kathy just going around. If your name is Kathy, I'm not talking about you. But I'm just saying, Gabby, you have to talk all the time. It's all about Jesus, Jesus. Okay, some people are like that, and sometimes that is really effective. I wasn't talking about you, Miss Kathy. I wasn't. I know. She shares Jesus Christ everywhere too, right? But that, and some people, that is great. And some people, it is It's through your life and your love. And when the opportunity arrives, you're always there with an answer. Why are you serving me chicken? Why are you doing it? Let me tell you, because that's a great story. Why are you here in our corner at Jefferson and Utica? That's a great story. Let me tell you. It's not because with all these others. It's not because Kamala Harris is down the street. It's not because the politicians are propped up with their cameras and all that. That's not it. That is not why we go to Jefferson and Utica. In fact, we're very, very opposite of that. Because those will come and they will go and they will forget all about it. But the body of Christ must stand in love of the world that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, we have a message to share, a hope to share. And the only hope that Jefferson Avenue has is Jesus Christ. Man in the hole. Bring your brain back to that video. There's 250,000 people in Buffalo. How many of them are in a hole? I'm walking with Mark down Jefferson. And we talk sometimes when we're going back and forth to the memorial. And you know, that's his place, right? He knows that place. Of course, it's nice to walk next to Mark because he's like, you know, he's big. He's a big guy, and I don't have to have any concerns. But there's a lot of, we'll call them gangbangers, right along the side. That's what he would call them. Okay, as you're going from one corner to the other, you know, they're not there to cause trouble necessarily. But it's a little intimidating sometimes. But all they are is men in a hole, and they've been fed a line. They've been fed a line, not a rope of salvation. They've been fed a line that if you walk this way, you talk this way, you act this way, you burglarize this way, you thump people this way, then you have some kind of a life. And that's a line. But that's not hope. And they remain in the hole. But we have hope that we must give, for God so loved the world. Chicken dinner, quite honestly, is a pretty easy way out of allowing somebody to see salvation. Coming down from heaven, dying on a cross, that's a hard road. But God so loved the world that he gave himself to come and to be put up on a cross to bring hope to the man in the hole, to the woman in the hole, the people who have no idea that there's hope that is stretched out and reaching out to them. And we must become the people of hope. But since I'm not preaching today, we should probably go back to some music. Lord bless you. Father God, we thank you that your hope and your love is evident in your Son coming and glorifying himself in such a way. Let us pray. For those that have no hope, let us go and bring and wash their feet and bring water to their souls. That, Lord God, we may be the people of hope. Now and to the end of days. Lord God, feed us that we may give forth that great hope. Pray this in your name. Amen.